This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. LeBron concerned with being pushed to all these overtime games? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
Dennis Schroeder into the front court. Schroeder to LeBron. LeBron dribbling. LeBron still dribbling. Took it to the basket. Kicks it to Wes Matthews. Three-pointer by Matthews. Good! Huge three by Wes Matthews. Timeout OKC.
The great John Ireland on the call. My guest here on this show. Was that yesterday or the day before? Oh, I lose track. Anyway, that was courtesy of ESPN LA 710. The rest of the country's interested. I got to say that LeBron was excellent when they needed him to be on both ends of the floor in crunch time. His a key offensive and a key defensive play won the game for the Lakers. And he is having an MVP caliber season. And were I doing a strictly LA show so I could just tell you how I felt instead of what I actually thought, I'd be stumping for LeBron as MVP. But as a national radio host, I must be a radio host for all the people. So I got to tell you my actual analysis. LeBron is having an amazing year. And the MVP is a stupid award because it's only for the regular season. There are 30 teams in the NBA. 16 make the playoffs. And now with play-in games, more than that. What is it? It's going to be 20 teams, right? Really? Because two extra in each conference for the play-in game. If you're playing after the regular season's over, that's the playoffs. It's going to be play-in game. It's a playoff game. So that's 20 out of 30 teams. Two-thirds of the league is in the playoffs. There's no such thing as an MVP from a non-playoff team. And yes, they have finals MVP, but in between the end of the regular season and the finals, what is that? All those games, those extremely high-leverage games, don't count for MVP in terms of who the best player in the world is? Ridiculous. Nevertheless, that's how they do it, okay? Now, if you ask me who's the MVP, the answer is LeBron, because by the end of this season, I expect LeBron to win again. He'll prove he's the best. But if you mean literally the MVP award, the regular season award, the MVP right now is actually Joel Embiid. You know what the Sixers are when they have all five starters playing? 14-0. They haven't lost yet. And Embiid, when he plays, even without some other starters, is close to maybe he has two or three losses on the year. If you look at his offensive numbers, his efficiency rates, highest in the game. Defensively, he probably deserves Defensive Player of the Year at this moment. And when, like, who could you put on Embiid to give him the biggest problem defensively? AD. He abused AD when those two met up. Matter of fact, 538 has an article. I don't remember what day it was from. It was sometime this week, I think. Yeah, I read so much stuff every day, you know, like I lose track. But it was 538, I'm pretty sure, talking about Embiid's his physical regimen and the kind of shape he's in and the difference it's made in his performance. LeBron is amazing. LeBron's the best player in the game, and he is the real MVP. But the way they vote on the MVP regular season, so far Embiid is in the lead. By the way, I think by the end of the season, given Embiid's injury history, it still won't be him. LeBron will catch him or KD will catch him. But I'm talking about at this moment, Sixers got the best record in the conference. Embiid's the best offensive and defensive player in the year this year, in the league this year. And when they met the Lakers head up, he was abusing AD to the point LeBron and Marc Gasol took him out of the air. He landed on his back. It kind of took him out of the game, but the Sixers still won. Meantime, LeBron says it's good that the Lakers' championship DNA is tested in close games. They've been forced to overtime in three straight games. The only thing I worry about with LeBron, he figured out after Miami, I think, he had to take his foot off the gas at times to preserve himself for those. Look, the NBA's real season begins in the playoffs. The regular season is just jockeying for seeding in the playoffs. And the playoffs last 2 months when you include the finals, and LeBron's always in the finals. And those are super high-leverage games. So playing this way in the regular season, I get it, is if LeBron believes this is the only way to win a championship, to get his team to play like this all the time. But otherwise, I do worry about how much he'll have left at the very end. Because the, one of the reasons I think he was so effective in the playoffs after Miami, like with Cleveland, he was obviously great with Miami too after that Dallas series the first year, is that he realized he was aging. He has to pace himself. But AD, he came on First Take last year and said, I challenged him to show up on the defensive end. And boy, has LeBron ever accepted that challenge. Lakers are the best defensive team in basketball. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as John Wall and the Rockets host Butler and the Heat, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. You know how much I love listening to sports on the radio? When I was a kid, my mother at a certain point, I wasn't doing my homework or something, she said, no TV during the week. I'm like, Ma, how am I going to watch the Yankees? How am I going to watch the Knicks, whatever it was? So I used to turn on the game on the radio and listen to it. And then as you get older, you got things to do. You can't be in front of the TV to catch the game all the time. You turn on the radio. Oh, it's what's better than driving around in your car with the game on? Mattia, is that how you pronounce it in Los Angeles? You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max? I just wanted to talk about the Lakers and say that, yeah, it's a little concerning that we've gone three straight games to overtime, but right now we're doing some things with our rotation, trying to get THT implemented. And he's going to be the X factor, just like Alex Crusoe was last year. And we'll be more than fine. Gentlemen sweep throughout the playoffs.
You might be right. He looked that way in the preseason for sure. Solomon in Los Angeles. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Yeah. Hey, Max. You know, I might be being a little picky here, but of course the Lakers do not win that game without LeBron. But I believe at the end of regulation, he was kind of locked down in the corner. He heaved up an air ball. And I was sitting there going, God bless him, may he rest in peace, a little bit Kobe Bryant, where you got four other players on your squad. I go for the best shot. You don't have to take the last shot. It's not written.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about LeBron James now, right?
He made the pass to Matthews in overtime, and look what happened.
Right, but the point, here's the problem. Here's the problem, and I understand you realize you're nitpicking. Here's the problem. A great basketball player has to have a sense as to when he takes the shot and when he finds his teammate, right? The great ones do need that sense. And it's a razor's edge, you know, because Kobe could go bananas sometimes at the end of the game and get less efficient. But you're Kobe Bryant. You're the best bad shot maker of all time. And you're not scared of the pressure. You thrive on it. So why wouldn't you take the shot? But still, sometimes he took ill-advised shots, right? And you're accusing LeBron of that. The problem with doing that, and the reason that's nitpicky to the point where I don't know if it's worth talking about, LeBron's basketball IQ in that way is the highest of all time, right? Like, he, if anything, his problem has been he's deferred too much in that situation. He's been a little scared to go to the free throw line or shoot from the outside, I think. So to blame LeBron for not finding an open teammate at the end of the game is like number one, I trust his judgment, and number two, it's so nitpicky. The dude has been making the correct basketball play his entire career. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Perk.
Hey, what's up, Max? Max, I thought you kicked me out. I thought you wasn't going to bring me back no more. It's been too long.
I'd bring you back every day if I could. What are you talking about? I know you're busy.
Okay, cool. Well, that's all I needed to hear. What's going on, Max?
You know, the same old, same old. I'm ready to argue with my guy. Are you concerned that the Lakers are playing so many close games, Perk?
No, I'm not concerned. Look, let me tell you something, Max. When you're the champion, you got to be prepared night in and night out to get everyone's best. Everyone is going to give you their best shot. That's part of being a champion. So when you look up and you see the Lakers going into overtime with the Oklahoma City Thunder, it's for a reason, because they're going to give them the best shots. Guys are going to have out-of-body experience and play well against the Lakers because they're the champions. No, I'm not concerned.
What about this, Perk? I know that LeBron, he played this incredibly intense brand of basketball in Miami. It seemed to me when he got to Cleveland, he realized, look, I'm getting older. I got to know how to pace myself, when to take the foot off the gas. And a lot of times that was on the defensive end in games that didn't mean as much as like playoff games or games against top opponents. When he got to the Lakers, AD came on First Take last year. He said, hey, I challenged him to step up on the defensive end. And clearly LeBron has responded. But Perk, when the dude, and he was great on both ends of the floor late in that game to give them the victory – But at his age, with the miles he's put on his legs in the NBA, no one's ever played at this level this late into their career, like Tom Brady in the NFL. With, like, he's pushing it on the defensive end in regular season games. I appreciate it sets a tone for the team, and it may be what they need to repeat as champions. But are you concerned at all about how much gas will be in the tank come playoff time?
No, I'm not concerned, Max, because, I mean, no one knows his body like LeBron James, right? So when you see him going full speed, he got to feel healthy. He got to feel rejuvenated. I mean, I'm pretty sure Frank Vogel and everybody then gave him the option to load manage, and he probably said, no, I'm cool. I want to play. So you can't stop him, or we can't look at him and say, you know what, he's giving too much right now, because to me, it's a joy to watch. I want to see him continue to keep doing this in year 18 at the age of 36, showing the world why he's the MVP and possibly the defensive player of the year.
All right, let's stop right there. I'm going to get to MVP in a second. I just want to point out.
What you mean?
We'll get to that in a second. I want to point out. I was on LA radio when Kobe basically staged a mutiny against D'Antoni, took over the offense, ran the point, really, and played himself over 40 minutes a game every day for like 2 weeks. And he took a team that was not going to the playoffs, and they were favored to win the whole thing that year. People forget the year Dallas beat them. They were supposed to win the whole thing. Kobe took a team that was not going to make the playoffs, or maybe it was the year after Dallas beat them. They were not going to make the playoffs, and they went on like a 26 and something run, like three or four times as many wins as losses, to make the playoffs. But I was saying the whole time, Perk, in Kobe's age, given the miles he's played, he can't be doing this. And everyone's like, no, he can't. And then his Achilles went. So I'm nervous about that with older players when they play that intensely on both ends of the floor. Now, I agree, it's a joy to watch. But I'm concerned because, Perk, LeBron's in uncharted waters. We don't know what a dude like who's playing this many minutes, NBA minutes, since he broke in the league. We don't know what the impact's going to be of the level of play on both ends of the floor that he's been playing when you play into the finals every year, because no one's ever done it.
Right, and that's why it would never be another player like him. He's different. That's why he has took his body to another level. When you look at guys like Tom Brady, who's playing at the age of 43 and still winning Super Bowls and Super Bowl MVPs, they're built different, Max. They're not like you. They're not like me.
What about
they
Kobe?
They have a different type of body.
What
right?
about Kobe?
So, like, you and I, we have old folks' bodies. We have those whack bodies. They're not us, Max. Yep. It's a difference.
No, I get it, but Kobe was the same way. His body was a temple. He was going to Germany for therapy on different, like, experimental stuff. Like, he cared about his nutrition and exercise. And I know he's not built quite like LeBron, but he was fanatical about that, and it caught up to him. I'm just saying, I want to get to the MVP thing. You claim it's LeBron. Perk, what MVP really should mean, since 2 months are played if you go to the finals in the postseason, since most teams make the postseason, it should mean when everything is done, we give out an MVP. In that case, I agree with you, it goes to LeBron. And I'm not saying Embiid is going to be the MVP at the end of this season. It may be LeBron, it may be KD. I'm saying right now, brother, right now, Embiid, when he's playing with the other starters, when they're all healthy, they're 14-0. He's the most efficient offensive player in the league with one of the highest usage rates in the league. And I think he's been the best defensive player in the league. How is this dude not the MVP?
Well, Max, first of all, look, I'm not knocking Joel Embiid. I'm a fan of Joel Embiid. I think he's in the MVP conversation. I just think that he's second. And look, this is another thing. This is another way we should evaluate the MVP, right? Take them off that team, and where would that team be in that conference, or where would that team be in the standings, right? You take Embiid off of Philly, I strongly believe that Philly is still a playoff contender team, a top five team, maybe in the Eastern Conference. You take LeBron off the Lakers, I don't know if the Lakers are even in the playoffs, to be honest. So
to tell you what their record is without Embiid. It ain't that good. With him, they almost never win. They almost never lose. And without him, they almost never win.
Yeah, but Max, I'm talking about over a long period of time. Knowing you going into the season and this is the team that you have, you're going to be built for this. Like Joel being out of the rotation, it plays a different role. And by the way, a guy that was missing when Joel was out was Seth Curry, which is a huge part of the 76ers offense. But,
yeah.
Max, let me tell you something. I go off the great Kevin Garnett told me, you evaluate a superstar on not only if they able to get theirs, meaning we all know that Joel could get his 30-plus a night. We're witnessing that right now, and he's doing it at a high level on the offensive end. But when you take that next leap, is when you start getting yours and making others around you better. And when I'm watching this and I'm looking at a situation like Wes Matthews, for example, and I said this to you the other day, a guy that had four DMPs come in and have an impact like he did offensively to help the Lakers two games ago, because all he has to do is make sure that he stays ready and spot up and be ready to catch and shoot the ball, because LeBron James draws so much attention, is the MVP at his finest. When you was just, before I came on, Max, you was just talking about how LeBron makes the right play, how last night he drove and he saw a wide open Wesley Matthews in the short corner, and he made the right play, and Wesley Matthews knocked down that big-time three-point shot late in the overtime last night. Mm-hmm. Like, that's MVP-level type stuff.
Well, listen,
this
Perk,
is why I got him ranked number one.
I hear you talking about, hey, the great Kevin Garnett told me you played on a championship team with Garnett and Paul Pierce and all these, Ray Allen and all these guys. So I know you have a lot of credibility. I just want to point out I used to play NBA 2K11, so I also have something to say about this. Now, Kendrick Perkins here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, I'm not knocking your NBA credibility. And by the way, great job today on the DeAndre Jordan take. I thought that was one of your
That's
best
what I wanted
takes
to ask you about.
Of the year. No, I'm
I
telling
you,
that was
you
one
that.
Of your best takes of the year. I
so
was
here's...
like, hold on, look, Max, diving deep right now. I was really impressed.
Here, thank you very much. Here is the take, so people know, and I want to hear your reaction to it, other than the fact that you liked it. The Nets' answer to their defensive problems, I keep saying that as currently constructed, they're not going to get out of the East. But if DeAndre Jordan can do that, Perk, I think that's the answer. He is a mistake eraser in the paint. He was defensively communicating with teammates and made a huge difference. But Perk, he has not played that way this year so far. That was the first time.
He hasn't, but we haven't saw him and James Harden. That was the first time when they played against, you know, when they played the game before last, when him and James Harden got into a disagreement, and then we saw a little back and forth between him and Steve Nash. That means that goes to show me the way that the Brooklyn Nets came out last night against the Pacers, that it was some accountability being held in that locker room. Because DeAndre Jordan came back and looked like the DeAndre Jordan from the Clipper days, where you saw him calling out team sets, talking guys through pick-and-roll coverages, anchoring the defense, and being that shot blocker, locking up Sabonis. Look, he took on the challenge. Sabonis is an all-star this year.
Miles Turner didn't get anything, Perk. Miles Turner got nothing.
I know, but Sabonis is that guy on the Pacers. And I thought DeAndre Jordan did a great job of taking him completely out of the game. And he anchored the defense, and we saw what happened. It ended in great fashion for the Brooklyn Nets. So, Max, you were absolutely on point with that one, that DeAndre Jordan is the X factor and for the Brooklyn Nets making it out of the Eastern Conference and possibly winning the championship.
Yeah, that's the next question. Get sorry, Perk.
But what I'm telling you, Max, is, you know, I know better than anyone, and you should ask the Boston Celtics about it, because they traded that defensive anchor in Kendrick Perkins and thought that they could replace it, and they found out that they couldn't back when they traded me to the Thunder. So, you know, defensive bigs and anchors are so valuable in this league, and they do things that don't show up in the stat sheet. But what it goes to show me is this, Max. You watched the game last night. I'm proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. I've always watched. I watch every game. What are you talking about?
No, you actually sat down and watched the game from start to finish. I could tell how you broke it down. You watched the game.
Sometimes I have to hop around game to game, but I catch everything important. Perk, before I let you go, you mentioned it, possibly the championship. Here's what I'm thinking. If Kevin Durant gets his defense back to what it was before the injury. He was a great defensive player. Can guard multiple positions, very long wingspan, very athletic, the whole thing. If KD gets his defense back and DeAndre Jordan plays like that, you got 2 7-footers playing defense, one of them on like every position. James Harden, his post defense has gotten much better through the years. We know that Kyrie can play defense when he chooses. I got to say, if DeAndre Jordan shows up like he did last night, by the time they get to the playoffs, I think Brooklyn is a threat to win the whole thing, Perk. What odds do you give them if DeAndre Jordan plays like that they can win the championship?
No, Max, I agree with you. Like, if DeAndre Jordan is going to play the way that he did last night, the Brooklyn Nets have a high chance of winning the NBA championship. And it's going to come down to Steve Nash and Mike D'Antoni. If they don't fall victim to the small ball lineup, like they get so caught up in wanting to play Kevin Durant at the five for offensive spacing and the offensive side of things that they take what's going to happen on the defensive side of things for granted. If they can continue to trust DeAndre Jordan and let him get those minutes and let him get those reps throughout the season, and he continue to produce the way he did last night, I mean, watch the hell out. They can win the NBA championship.
The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you on TV, I'm sure. And by the way, Perk, you on this show, any day I get you, I'll have you on this show. Does the NBA need the national anthem? By the way, let me say something real quick. I'm very heavy on this segment, but let me just say something. If you got Kyrie and Harden and Joe Harris, and you're playing KD at the five, you don't need Jeff Green at the four. You have all the spacing you need. You play KD at the forward and put DeAndre at the five. Does the NBA need the national anthem? Sports is using technology to take the fan experience to the next level, like having digital fans in the stands. When it comes to hiring, there's one solution that's been advancing its technology for years, ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. No wonder. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the very first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max. Does the NBA need the anthem?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Mark Cuban, on to something with the anthem? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's Taylor Twellman on the anthem and his experience talking to athletes. Listen to this.
When I interview foreign players, both in soccer, baseball, and now I'm even getting little wrinkles in basketball with agents and whatnot, when I ask about their experience within the domestic leagues in this country in any sport, the first thing that's brought up is, why do they play the anthem before the games? Because all of these athletes, Greeny, are playing for their country in other areas. So, for instance, Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis are looking at it saying, well, wait a minute, we're not playing for the United States. We're playing for the Dallas Mavericks in the United States.
Now, Taylor Twellman's absolutely right. I've always found it curious. You know, when people emphasize patriotism too much, it crosses over at times to nationalism. I've always been curious. It's like hanging an American flag out your door. Like, I get being proud of your country, and America has a lot of things about which to be proud. But are you not aware of the country you're in? This is not like we are a tiny little country somewhere, bordered on all sides. We have, you know, border 3 different nations. And no, we have vast oceans on either side and very friendly governments to the north and south of us, only bordered by 2 nations, Mexico and Canada, with whom we have, you know, historically, by the standards of the history of this planet, exceptional relationships with, really. So why are people not aware that they're American? And if people assume that everyone should stand for the anthem because they respect the country, well, if you assume that everyone loves their country, why do you need to have the anthem? Or do you want proof of it? I actually think what's going on with the national anthem at sporting events is it's a kind of political correctness. And when you hear political correctness, you associate it with left-leaning politics where it's a kind of cultural tyranny, right? You have to conform to these set of behaviors in public, and you have to espouse these kind of ideas in public, or you're a bad person. And there's a big reaction to that, negative reaction to that, for good reason, because it stifles, while it's important to be sensitive to marginalized groups, we shouldn't have an atmosphere where people are afraid to say things that may be unpopular, or maybe even that they haven't thought out enough, or they need to think more, or they need to just sharpen their kind of intellectual swords against other people's ideas, right? Precisely because it's not well thought out enough is why that conversation and debate should be had publicly. And when PC culture stifles that kind of stuff on the right, you know, when left-wing PC culture on the right, they legitimately have a reason to say, wait a minute, why should I be scared to say something publicly just because I disagree with you? Or maybe you've thought about this more than I have. Great, so let's have it out. The national anthem, to me, is a kind of PC, but it's right-leaning. It's a right-wing version of political correctness. Here's a litmus test. We all must, not a litmus test, but we all must respect this ceremony, right? Or you're anti-American. Well, you may have a million reasons why you don't want to stand for the anthem. You may think about the original lyrics of the national anthem itself that we don't sing anymore, but it's in the song. No, what is it? Refuge will save the hireling or slave from the something of flight or the gloom of the grave. Because black people in this country, the British told them, hey, you'll be a free person. Fight against the country, the United States, because the colonies, because you'll be a free person. You're a slave here. Well, I mean, that's a good incentive, wouldn't you say? If someone's not free, if they're being oppressed and enslaved, of course you're going to want the side that says, we'll free you. And so it was put in the anthem. Nothing's going to save you from dying if you fight for your freedom. What? We sing that song, we just don't sing that part of the song. Someone, whether black or white, may just object to that, singing that song. Or someone might say, yeah, you stand for the anthem because you love this country for its ideals. But I don't want to stand for the anthem because I don't think we're hewing closely enough to those ideals. We need to be better. The great thing about this country, one of the many great things, is you don't have to stand for the anthem. No one can tell you how to think or what to do so long as you're not hurting anyone else. But it's become a kind of politically correct device used by the right. And I think a lot of people who even come to this country from abroad and are seeing it with fresh eyes, you know, like foreign players that Taylor Twellman's talking about, are saying, it's kind of cultural tyranny. It's like I have to conform to what you say my public behavior should be and my public posture toward this ceremony, or else I'm a bad guy. And people are going to object to that. So when Mark Cuban takes it out, what he's doing is saying, hey, the presence of this is in fact injecting politics into the proceedings, into sports. Because if by not participating, you're making a political statement, that can only be true. If by participating, you're also making a political statement. You just want me to make the political statement you want me to make. And that's not how America works. Yeah, I think Mark Cuban is on to something. By the way, speaking of something happened 31 years ago that might be the greatest upset in sports history. The Undefeated on ESPN Plus offers fans year-round premium content highlighting the intersectionality of race, culture, and sports. Check out new premium storytelling, your favorite ESPN films, and more exclusively on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. Last take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Biggest upset ever? Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hear this? If I was stranded on a desert island, Raj, and I could only have one catalog, it'd be Wu-Tang. Now, that includes all the solo projects in Wu-Tang, but that's what it would be.
Them all? You trying to get them all?
Yep. If I had to choose one, I'd just take Ghost. But if I could take...
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'd take Wu-Tang, I would take Zeppelin, I have to think about what if I had like the Mount Rushmore of catalogs.
Wait. I just said this is a segment for tomorrow.
Oh, so okay. We'll do it tomorrow.
This is something we're doing tomorrow at this time. We're going to have our island. You get four catalogs. Me, you, and Bill.
I got to figure out my last two. Certainly my last one.
Yeah.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know I'm First Take. I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
Today marks the 31st anniversary of Buster Douglas's 10th round knockout of Mike Tyson. Tyson was undefeated coming into the fight. Buster was listed at a 42-1 underdog. By the way, Grandpa Al Lewis, member of the Munsters, kids, you don't know what that is, but ask your dad. He once told me, Max, it wasn't 42-1 because he was a betting man. He found 17-1 odds, but it was listed at 42. And he just said they wouldn't give you the actual, you couldn't actually place that bet. But at any rate, it was an enormous upset. It was held in Japan, not because people weren't interested in Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, along with Michael Jordan, was one of the two most famous and most popular, compelling athletes on the planet Earth. The reason it was in Tokyo was because you couldn't sell the fight in the States because every Mike Tyson fight was ending in 90 seconds. People were like, I'm not paying for that. 90 seconds, it's over? They had to take the show on the road to Japan. And Buster Douglas used to show up fat and out of shape to fight. He's a talented fighter, but it's not just that he won. He didn't land a lucky punch. He boxed Mike Tyson's brakes off and knocked him out. Beat him up and knocked him out. And I got to say something about Mike Tyson. I never thought he'd be alive at this age, ever. And I don't know, proud is kind of a condescending word, especially he's older than me. He used to watch me on Public Access do Max on Boxing when he was heavyweight champ living on 2nd Avenue. But I am proud of him. Mike Tyson has had an extraordinary second or third act in American life. From a guy who I never thought would live this long. He is... By the way, his podcast, Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, he's one of the best natural interviewers I've ever seen. Much better than I am. Much better than I am. Like, he's on a Howard Stern level of interviewing. He is philosophical and genuinely curious about his subjects, about the people he's talking to. Just remarkable. But that was the biggest upset in sports history. Douglas Tyson. And for people who would say, well, it turns out Mike Tyson was distracted and Douglas was motivated. All you're really arguing is cause and effect. Yes, there are reasons the upset happened. There always are. But I can't think of a single other sporting event that was a greater upset than that. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You got 30 seconds.
All right, give me 31. How you doing, Max? I say LeBron's the second best ever to not name Wilt, second to Wilt. I wish he could have taken a second sport and he would have done it well. Just to show my MJ, Deion Sanders played two sports and did well. I think baseball's harder than basketball. I think Kawhi should be the MVP. He's carrying a team. They had more injuries. They got the best. I think it's the Clippers' year.
You know that Mitch makes an interesting point. Not about the ridiculousness that LeBron or Wilt were better than Michael Jordan. They weren't, but he makes an interesting point. Kawhi, because of the flame out in the playoffs last year of his team, he choked in Game 7, but he was magnificent until then. Paul George is the guy who didn't show up. But because the team underperformed expectations last year, people are kind of sleeping on the kind of season he's having right now. It's interesting. You don't hear him for MVP, but regular season so far. AJ in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You got 30 seconds.
Hey, Max. Always good to hear from you. Here's the thing. You can't put too much value in the regular season. We've seen it from the Buccaneers when they did their championship run, and even with the Lakers the year before when they did their championship run. So any sport we look at, don't put too much in the regular season matchups.
I agree. Well, not any sport, but particularly the NBA. Again, 8 teams are going to make the playoffs. 2 teams are going to have a play-in game. That means 20 out of 30 teams are playing after the regular season's over. 2/3 of the teams are playing after the regular season is over. It is absurd to give an MVP out before the end of the postseason. It's absurd. And yet, that's what they do in the NBA. All right, there's no time for any other calls. Let me just say about Tyson Douglas quickly, because I mentioned it's the biggest upset ever. Mike Tyson was almost, he was 37-0, almost all by knockout. He was the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And people thought he was going to reign for 10 or 20 years. And everyone was thinking the same thing, though they didn't want to say it out loud in boxing. He's going to be the greatest fighter of all time. That's how he was perceived at the time. Hit harder than everyone, was faster than everyone, had better technique. It was the biggest upset of all time. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Shanae and Golic Jr. coming up right now. Poof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.